just gonna be in the sky. We're going where the whole one does not have the world bound. My Jesus is coming soon, and morning or night, or noon and many will meet. For trumpets will sound. Now all of the dead shall rise, for righteous gonna meet in the sky. We're going where no one dies ever were bound.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, the evangelists.
Let the church say amen, let the church say amen, let the church say amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Good evening once again, brothers and sisters and friends. We are thankful unto God for this evening, just as we were thankful for this morning. The Lord took us safely, and He brought us back safely. And thank Him. And I want to especially thank you, the leadership here, the elders, deacons, evangelists, your evangelist, Brother Brown, his wife, Sister Brown, and family. Thank you very much from the bottom of our heart. We love you. And that's the truth. We always pray for you. We want you to know that. This evening, our love for us to leave here being built up. We want to leave here so when we face the new week that's ahead of us, we got to go to work. We will never forget this evening. We would always remember this evening here at the Sandy Lane Church of Christ. I love that song that you just sung, my brother. Jesus is coming soon. Very good song. We know He is coming again, according to the scriptures. Now, this evening we want to look at the lesson entitled, The Power and the Preeminence of Jesus Christ. The Power and the Preeminence of Jesus Christ. Reading from Colossians chapter number 1. Verses number 15 through 20. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Reading. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, or rulers and authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have the first place in everything. I'm going to 20. For it is the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. And number 20. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross, through Him I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Well, you see, I think we still have a vague understanding of Jesus, a vague understanding of the Godhead. Because, you see, all things were made by Jesus. And if you notice the creation scene, God the Father is the architect. He drew the plan. Jesus Christ the Son executed that plan. The Father said, Son, let there be light, speaking to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus brought light. Let there be this, and Jesus brought everything we could see today. And he continued to sustain them. He continued to sustain everything. Everything that happened today, Jesus uphold and sustain all of them. But yet Jesus gave credit to the Father in John chapter number 5, beginning from verse number 21. He said, it is God the Father who raised the dead and giveth life to the Son to give to whomsoever the Son will to give it life. So God the Father, the architect, and most people don't know that. They think that the Godhead is just one person, but no, it's not so. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God the Father, the architect, and the Son, the one who carries out the plan. You know, like if you build a house, here's the architect and he drafts the plan. And the one who is reading the plan carries it out. And the people around who is building it preserve. So the Father drew the plan, the Son executed, and the Holy Spirit preserved. Isn't it wonderful? The Holy Spirit preserved. We serve in a mighty God. Let's look at what matters. The devil is out to get your mind from the real heart of the matter and to put your mind in some little thing going on around you. That's what the devil does. That's his job. I learned in the book of Revelation that when the war broke out in heaven, war is war. And you know when there is war, there's going to be missiles firing out. The devil would be sending out his missiles like lightning. No wonder why Jesus said, I saw Satan tumbling out of heaven like lightning. Remember he said that? Yes. And so when I check the book of Revelation, we're studying Revelation right now as a part of our studies, but we can't do it because of no power. We have been studying Revelation, the book of Revelation, on Wednesday evening. And we ask all the members to do their research. I do mine, and all the rest of the members, they get other helpful books, and they do their research. Most of the time, I told them, I look at commentary, but I don't rely on commentary. I use the Bible, and let the Bible be its own commentary. Now, if I need a word definition of a word, I go to the thesaurus. If you have a thesaurus, you better keep it handy. Because that gives, I have 125,000 words definition. Here's a word and I don't understand it. The thesaurus give me that understanding. So I always have one with me. And here, I don't understand the word, it gives the meaning of the word. But apart from that, I let the Bible explain the Bible. And how it's done by prayer. And this is why the apostles, when there was a dispute in Acts chapter 6 and 7 between the Grecians and the Hebrew of their daily ministry, the apostles said, search among you for 7 men full of faith. You remember Stephen and Philip was chosen? The apostles said, we are not going to serve tables. It means doing benevolence. But we are going to give ourselves to prayer. If you don't pray, it wouldn't work. We are going to give ourselves to prayer and preaching of the Word of God. And when the Bible said give ourselves to prayer, it's not talking about you half sleepy and you're there and you stumble and you start all over again. Not talking about that. You're talking about the daily life of prayer in intense pressure and pain. You pray to God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You remember Jesus said men are to pray all the time and not to faint? If Jesus, Lord help us, who is the Son of God. He prayed. He set the example. He prayed to God the Father and the Holy Spirit, much less to you and me. No wonder why Satan is defeating us. Amen. Yes, we can't see the broad things of God. No, we can't see it. I show you a piece of bread this morning that I use in Puerto Rico. And use it very effectively because the people understand. When you make a contrast and you have something physical that they could see, I mean, they learn very fast and they appreciate it. But do you know that bread that you eat, who put the nutrients in it? Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. You know who is doing that? Jesus. Because he sustains the universe. There's another thing that God uses to do some stuff that may scare people to death. And that's a volcano. I've been in places where a volcano erupted and people were running like they were crazy. And they would come to me and they would say, "Preacher, we need to pray." I say, "Well, you better don't pray now, it's too late." Because when God starts to do a thing, you better don't pray. Because God is doing it until he is done doing it. And so your prayer ain't gonna help. You should have been praying before. Don't wait until God starts to do his thing and you're going to tell me prayer. I just leave it alone. I practice that. If I see something going to happen and it started and I start to pray, I give up the prayer. I say, "Well, Lord, you take control because it's in your hands." And I don't pray anymore. You see, we have to ask some question. How could mortal man, made in the image and likeness of God, Jesus, who created you and me. Because when God said, "Let us make man," he was speaking to the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in our own image. And how those people who are made in the image and likeness of God could turn to a man and trust in him for his eternal redemption and leave Jesus out. Now, when I hear the calling the Pope the Holy Father, and it's going on TV and the internet and all over the world, I dare say, well, what would you do with Jesus? If he is the Holy Father, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus. When Jesus said, "All authority," you remember that? "In heaven and earth has been given to me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." You see, to be a savior, you have to be a creator. And Jesus has created all things. No man could be a savior. You know why? No man could create anything. And number two, to be a savior, you had to shed blood. Ask the Pope or those popes who have gone on how much of your blood you shed for any of the people who have been following you. Boy, they would run like crazy. They would run from you like they're crazy. Because no one has shed blood besides Jesus. Only Jesus, the Son of God, who has shed his blood for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ only. You know, in the doctor's, the physician office, I usually use my time to get them to obey the gospel. I don't go places and know people are going to be lost. And don't raise that conversation with them. And so this past week I told one of the health care providers, I said, "Look, ma'am, you need to obey the gospel." I talked to the nurses too. And I said, "You need to obey the gospel." One said to me, "You look different, you know, sir. I like your way of operation." Well, I said, "Give God the glory. You may give me a little commendation, but give God the glory. Because God had it to be so to bring me here to help you to see the need of obeying Almighty God." Amen. And so Jesus needs to be respected. Because in eternity, that is before the foundation of the world, God purposed Jesus to be our Savior. And this is why the prophet said, "It would come to pass that everyone who would not hearken to the voice of that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." That was spoken by Moses back in the Old Testament. But you go to the book of Acts, who said the Bible ain't right? You come from Moses to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and you find the apostle Paul, Peter saying, God having raised up his son Jesus. Moses talked about him way back when. But here is the writer of the book of Acts telling us that God raised up Jesus and sent him to bless every one of you in turning from their iniquity. And so Jesus is the creator. He is the sustainer and provider of all things. He sustains the universe. Jesus, the Son of God. Not a man, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus is, he ought to be loved and he ought to be respected. Here is why I know that Jesus ought to be loved and be respected. Now there's a significant independence of animal and vegetable kingdom. There's a difference between the animals and the vegetable kingdom. That is, trees observe carbon dioxide. You know that, right? The trees observe carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen. That's right. You know that, right? Amen. Animals use oxygen and expel carbon dioxide. You know who is holding that? Jesus Christ. Jesus got that going. So it looked like a simple thing, but God knows, he knew what's going to work to sustain the universe. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who is doing all of this. The Son of the living God. You must love him. You must respect him. He is not a man only. He is man, but yet he is God. Did you know that? Jesus is man right now, and he is God. Did you know that? Right. Let me show you where. Prove it from the scripture. I did a little research and I found out. When Jesus was raised from the dead, they didn't believe that he was raised. The apostles and other disciples, followers. So Jesus gave a little clue here. A little one there. One time they were eating a piece of boiled fish. And Jesus appeared and he said, all hail. Someone said, wait, we may have seen a ghost. You remember? But Jesus said, a ghost does not have bones and flesh as you see me now. Touch me. You remember Thomas? It is me. It is I. You remember unbelieving? He's not unbelieving. He just wants some evidence. But it was Jesus. And it's similar to Joseph in Egypt. You remember that great famine?
Yes, sir.
Joseph began to give little clues. He didn't just come out and told his brothers, I'm your brother. Because they probably would not believe. Give a little pebble here and a little one there, some little sign. Just give me a little sign. Isn't that right? Been given a little sign here, there, and everywhere. Jesus did the same thing. And they follow similarly. Because Joseph was sold for about 20 pieces of silver. Remember that? Jesus was sold for 30 pieces. And when Jesus rose from the dead, those folk who saw him and this great miracle still didn't believe. And there are many people today, even among some of us, who still don't believe Jesus. Lord have mercy. What if God had brought the gospel from the beginning? He couldn't do it. He had to drop a little piece with the starlight age, you remember? The moonlight age and the sunlight age, which is the Christian age. And it took a period of years, 2,500 years, for the patriarchal dispensation called the starlight. 1,500 years for the Mosaic dispensation, which is called under the law of Moses. And now we are 2,017 years in the Christian age. You see how long it took? And still we don't understand. But now in eternity, the devil, you better be careful with the devil. The devil tried to destroy God's plan in eternity, but he couldn't do it. Because what God had purpose in eternity, the devil didn't know about that. The devil started war in heaven because he think he was the boss. That's what pride is. And when you do a little research, you will find out that pride is a dangerous thing. And that's the cause of the trouble in the world today. Man think he is equal with God. That's pride. The devil was called Lucifer. And they said he was a beautiful fella. But you can't go and try to fight the one who created all things from what he has created. He is God. And that's pride. That's what the devil did. So if you don't be careful with the devil, he will capture you too. But here's the thing about God. I did some more research in the book of Revelation. And I found out in Revelation chapter number 12 that the Bible said there was war in heaven. And the dragon fought. And Michael, the archangel, fought and cast him down. Well, you could see the power of God. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit said, go take care of him. Go take care of him and his followers, his angels, and cast them down. But he did not know that God had a plan called the scheme of redemption in eternity before Adam and Eve. Did you know that? Yes. And this is why we need to respect Jesus. Is the heart and center of the Bible. The Son of God. When Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, it was Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that. The drunk of the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. That's what the Bible says. So we got to love and respect Jesus. You see? So Jesus was purposed to be the Savior before the foundation of the world. And when you check Revelation chapter number 12, you remember it tells us there about the woman who ran in the wilderness with the child? It was not Israel. It was the scheme of redemption, God's purpose. It was not Israel, but it was God's purpose, Ephesians chapter number 3. Which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Lord have mercy. Satan couldn't destroy God's purpose, and he's still trying till today. Trying to keep you and me from giving our whole selves to Jesus and looking at some things as a little pebble of nonsense that a brother might get himself into. Somebody might get mixed up in and get us focused on that. Don't focus on the real thing. We are to focus on what matters. Yes, sir. And what matters is understanding who God is and making heaven our home. That's what matters. Amen. Amen. And Jesus was purposed before the foundation of the world. The devil cannot destroy God's purpose. God's purpose stands forever. Some of you don't understand. Most people in the world don't understand when you talk about the Church of Christ. We are talking about something that was purpose in eternity. Purpose in eternity. Before Adam and Eve, before the devil was cast down and came and gave the woman the idea that God is keeping something from you. I have something for you that's going to make you wise. And you're going to be wise as God. That part of that may have been true, but it's to man's destruction. Knowing good and evil, do you remember that? Well, the devil is there saying, well, let me see what he's going to do with them now. Lord, they're separated from him. Let me see what he's going. But he did not know, the devil, that God had purpose in the scheme of redemption, Jesus Christ to die, because known unto God is yesterday, today, and forever. The devil did not know what God knew. Because God had purposed the church before the foundation of the world. And notice the word the church. Not the churches, but the church, singular. And if even a fellow can't read and you say, he understands it means one. If even a fellow can't read and you say it, It means one. Amen. Glory be to God. God set it where even a fellow can't read could understand. Amen. So the church of Christ was in God's purpose before the foundation of the world. You better get people to get in. Because when mercy door is closed, you could talk about the Pope and denominational institutions of men. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Nothing else would last. And that's why when I know people, and I know them that they're going to be lost, if I don't tell them the good news of salvation. And when I come up in the judgment, I told somebody so a few days ago. And the lady said, well, I want to be baptized. I'm hoping to baptize her when I go back to Maryland. Amen. Yes, yes, sir. Glory be to God. This is what we got to do. I know a person in the world, and as long as I come in contact with them, it's for them to reject the gospel. But I have a responsibility to let them know what it is. And so in the scheme of redemption, isn't God great that he provided for our eternal destiny before he provided bread for us? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It was in the book of Deuteronomy. When Jesus came, he said it. You remember that? And so God knew. He saw us coming. Did you know God knew that the Brother Brown was coming? Yes! And there's none like Brother Brown. Brother Brown is the only one like him. Amen. Glory be to God. But God knew he was coming. And Jesus went to the cross and provided for Brother Brown and all of us. You can't limit God, you see. I never try to limit God. God, why Israel failed is because the Bible said they limit the Holy One of Israel. God is not limited. And he is not to be limited. Even though in my life there's still troubles. But I trust God because it comes down to a personal relationship with God, regardless to what happened. Yes. You see? Let me show you something. In Montserrat, there was a volcano. God gave me the opportunity with some others to go to Montserrat and plant the Church of Christ. There was no Church of Christ in Montserrat. The people of Montserrat didn't know the volcano was coming and wiped them out. Almost all the people of Montserrat are in Great Britain now. But the church in Montserrat is coming back. Is there something? Now, when we bought that building, because I was there, and I'm not looking for any glory, I'm just telling you how God is great. When we bought the building for the Church of Christ in Montserrat, God knew what was going to happen, but we didn't. And we got lands in a plain, a flat place. But there was a mountain on that side, all the wrong way, and the church building was in the level on the plain. And Brother Brown, when that volcano came, I could take you to the spot right now. When the volcano came from the top of Chance's Peak, because I used to go up there while I was in Montserrat. How great God is. I'm trying to get you to something here. How great God is. Remember I told you when we started the lesson, I want you to go away from here being built up in Christ Jesus. And so when the volcano came, it came down and took a radio station named Radio Antilles. You heard about that? It took Radio Antilles. Took it to the sea with the lava. But the Church of Christ building is still standing till today. You heard me? Did you hear me? The Church of Christ building is still standing till today. We didn't know what was going to happen, but God knew. Don't limit God. Much less our eternal salvation and the devil. Hey, is a battle going on here? With God, us and the devil. The devil thinks he's going to win, but he can't win. He would never win. When God put forth his purpose and his will, you can't defeat him. You can't defeat God. Amen. You are on the strong side. Amen. Keep that way. Keep it that way. Don't get out. When you hear me say, let us go forward and doing God's bidding, this is what you want for us to do. Be focused on Him. But we still, humanly speaking, we hold back, isn't it true? We hold back from God, and the devil said, I know I got them. Here's the devil now said, hot dog, I got them. I got them just where I wanted them. But God is saying, I'll bring somebody who will help us. Bring us together and help us to see our danger. And help us to see that we are on the right side, and don't let the devil fool you. God wants what's good for us. But you know how you'd understand it? You know how you would grasp it? Only one way. Through suffering. Through paying a price like Jesus. For even here unto all he called, because Christ suffered for us, we are called to suffer too. It's through suffering. Peter said it in the writer of the book of Hebrews, said, we are made perfect through suffering. Perfection means we understand God when we suffer. Yes, we do. When we suffer, we understand who God is and what he has done for us in his son Jesus. And this life, you better don't put too much emphasis on it. You better put all the emphasis on the life that is to come. Because one of these days, it's going to happen just as God said. The dead in Christ going to be raised. And Lord, if they had behaved themselves, if they didn't be a backstabber and a cutthroat and they gone on with some impediment, and no impediment going to keep some people out of heaven. How do I know that? I'm not a judge, but I know. I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again. They give me an immune situation when I travel. They told me I don't have to take my shoes off. Other people do. And you know why they gave me that blessing? They said, you are an evangelist. But then they think of something, they thought of something. They said, we could trust this man. But what about if somebody dressed up like an evangelist and stating that they are an evangelist and go bomb a plane? So they make it harder, but I'm still in it because I know what to do. Amen. I'm still part of it. I ain't going to bomb the plane. You crazy? No. If I see something, I'm going to say something. Much less to go and bomb a plane. Isn't that right? Yes, we don't do that. We don't do that. And sometimes I fight with them. Literally fight with them. Telling them, sir, I don't want to go through this. Sir, so you have been approved to go through. You come to here. No, not there. You come here, sir. And I say, glory be to God. We ain't going to bomb the plane. We're going to help save lives. That's the devil's job to do that. And he uses people to do that. And it's glory be to God that we are able to do that. And stop some of the things that's going on in the world. Wickedness by ISIS doing this and doing the world. God has some people here to stop them. Or slow them down. But all of these things that we are talking about, God knew of them before they came. And you know, sometimes it looks like God isn't walking. Isn't it true? Yes. Sometimes I'm out there, you know, when I see certain danger and I'm out there praying, I say, wait a minute, Lord. But the Lord is saying, my thoughts to you are more numerous than the sand on the sea, on the seashore. It looked like God ain't walking, but Job said, hey, touching the Almighty, you can't find him out. You remember that? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Job said, it looked like God ain't walking, but he is walking. Us being together tonight is more than money. You and me together here is God walking. Lord have mercy. Glory be to God. This is more than money. I feel at home with you and happy that we can glorify God together. Amen. Oh, devil, you better run. Oh, yes, you better take off like a fleeing suspect. Because God is being glorified right here and now. Sandilale Church of Christ is being glorified now in the sight of God. Amen. Glory be to God. So all things is not money and it can perish. But the spiritual things, Lord have mercy and help us. The things that are called spiritual things. The things of eternal life. Can't you see now when Jesus, when he went to the woman at the well, and he told her, if I give you that water, it will come up in you, springing up as everlasting. Can't you see what Jesus said is true? You can feel it, can't you? Oh, Lord, glory be to God. Yes. Springing up into everlasting life. Where's the devil? Well, Brother Brown, he is gone running now. He's running, amen. He's gone running away. Boy, I don't want to see Brother Brown. Oh, no, no. Because you're seeing that you here, standing up here for the cause of Jesus with your family and everybody here as a solid rock that cannot be moved. You don't want that, but glory be to God for you. And all of you in this church, the Church of Christ right here, devil don't know what he do when he trouble God's people. He don't know what he is doing when he messes with God's people. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And we ought to give God the glory every day, every time. Do you know, I learned something. When we are sick, and we are confronted with some sort of trouble, and we think the world is coming, well, poor me. You better give God the glory. Because God used suffering and hardships to help us to understand that he is in charge. And we should not be afraid. Yes, God is in charge. And we glorify him. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes, yes. Yes. Here's why I learned that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said, for I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Satan make you believe that is not so. Well, let me show you something. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, They met some troubles, just like we all meet some troubles, especially if you're a true child of God. You're going to meet trouble and trouble and trouble. But let me tell you, it's just like when you see the clouds out there, and it looked threatening, Brother Emil, and you there saying, well, I better don't go out there. The clouds fool us sometimes, is that right? You go out there and you find there's no rain, no storm, but the clouds play a trick on you. That's the devil. That's what he does. Make it look like, well, you better don't do this. You better don't. When God is saying, yes, go ahead and do it. Yes. You remember when the children of Israel were sent to spy out the land? 10 came back and said, we couldn't take it. Lord have mercy. And they believe the report of the 10. And this is why Caleb and Joshua had to suffer with the people. But did you know all the 40 years in the desert heat, Caleb could still come back and say, I was 45. Lord have mercy. You remember, I was 45 when God sent us to spy out the land. And now I'm 85. He said, I'm just as strong. Man, you could see Caleb could be running up the hill like he was just born. A young, strong man. After the desert heat of 40 years, he is stronger than he was before. Oh, Lord have mercy. We don't see God for who he is. But we need to start to see him. And Caleb said, I'm just as strong. It means every part of his body at 85 was functioning. Just as he was at 45. And he said, you know, that is attributed. I serve the Lord my God wholeheartedly. That's why I'm still strong. As I was at 45. Amen. A lot of people can't say that. Because they don't have the vision and the commitment to God as Caleb did. You have to give something to get something. Isn't that right? Yes, and that's what Caleb did. So if you start thinking like that, you're going to see how you feel strong. You're going to see if they don't bother with the machine that they have, Brother Brown. In the hospital, because they tell more lies, some of them, than telling the truth. Now, hear what happens sometimes. You go to the doctor for your checkup. They bring some machine, and the machine is saying far different to what you know. I feel healthy and strong, and the machine is saying, well, you're hard hearing. No! They're doing that to maybe get some funds, isn't it right? So the Medicare, whatever you in, whatever insurance is going to get some money out of it. You're strong as ever because God, amen. You better start to give God the glory. Because God have me here. Brother Green, you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Because of God Almighty. Don't bother with those machines. And if even though you go through a test and they say you failed, say, I didn't fail. The machine failed, not me. Not me, the machine, not me. And don't even worry about it to raise your blood pressure. Go and rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Amen. We want to make heaven our home. Yes, I told you, when we get out of here this evening, we want to be on our way rejoicing. Isn't it all right? Amen. Giving God the glory. Amen. Yes. So this is what God did in eternity. Isn't God great? Yes! Yes, 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 He is. He's a great God. We serve a great God. A loving God. A merciful God. You got to love Him. You got to love Him to death. And you know when you talk about loving God, you remember when the Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem council came together to discuss a problem. Some people came down from Judea and told the brethren accept to be circumcised. You remember that? And keep the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. And they came together, Peter, James, and John, the other apostles. But when Paul and Barnabas came, let me tell you all something. I'm going to relate on that right now. When Paul and Barnabas came, and they heard from them, they said, these are men who have hazarded their lives. Hazard. You know what hazard means? These are men who have hazarded their lives for the name of Christ and the gospel. What kind of hazardness have you been through? For Christ and the gospel. If you haven't been through that, how could you see what the devil is trying to do with your soul and with your existence here? Men who have hazarded their lives. And there's something else. The devil is a liar and a tricker. You remember? All of the apostles, the original 12, they did their thing, isn't that right? But there was one apostle who came, and God invests more in him than any of the other apostles. That's Paul. Isn't that true? Yes. He wrote between 13 and 14 books of the New Testament. Is that right? Yes, he did. And here's something else. When everybody crunching and squealing and saying, let me see what Paul is going to do. Maybe they went up and said, where's your wife, Paul? Paul said, I wish all men would abide like I am. Isn't that right? Because he had control. You don't have to have your wife to have control. You have it within yourself. That you're not going to do certain evils. You're going to stand and glorify God. And sometimes folk in the church don't understand. Where's his wife? No. You remember Paul the apostle? He said, I'm just like you who have your wives. He said, I buffeted my body, remember? And I brought it under subjection, lest at any time when I preach unto others, I myself might be a castaway or a reject. If you have God in you, you ain't going to do them those nonsense. You have people being accused, politicians, of having sexual relations with minors. You remember that? It's all over the place now, isn't that right? Oh, yes, it's all over. But, you know, something, if you know God's will, you're not going to get in that. And you see, because you know God's will, you're not going to run for some politics thing. If you're going to deal with anything, you're going to deal for the Lord. You're going to be a lawyer for Jesus. Let them do their thing. But you be a lawyer to speak for Jesus Christ. That's what we got to do. Yes. And even though you might be accused, God will come and just, his son, wipe it out. You wouldn't hear another word. Because you have God on your side. Amen? Amen. You have Jesus. And one of the things I'm going to tell you, if you have some sort of mistake in the past, don't go to the world. No! Go to God. Don't go to the world, because the world can't and would not forgive. But we have brothers could forgive, isn't it? Loving and tenderly. And when God forgive, when the brotherhood with understand God's will and he forgets. That's it. It's wiped away by the blood. Isn't that wonderful? By the blood of Jesus. Even though all have sinned, Lord have mercy, and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? We should love and respect Jesus, the Son of God. He went to the cross. It's called the winepress alone. You remember that? He trod the winepress alone by himself. For us. We serve a loving Savior. Finally, before I close, God knew that when he purposed Jesus to die for the world, God knew that Jesus was going to face death, a horrible one, because he was going to take on sin. Who knew no sin? He take on sin. He became sin for us. You remember that? And he fulfilled the law. So God's purpose in eternity was not only to bring the church, not only to bring the church of Christ, but was to defeat Satan all the way, everywhere to eternity. Amen. Because Jesus' death on the cross, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection defeated Satan. And Satan is a defeat. You don't allow a defeat to mess with you. Satan had been defeated. Yes! He will do his little thing here and there. That's who he is. But he is defeated by Jesus' death on the cross for us. And God knew that he was going to hang Jesus on that cross before the foundation of the world. Isn't God wonderful? You got to go to the cross, son. Go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. In the volume of the book, it is said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Isn't it wonderful? Yes. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God." Hebrews chapter 10. He took away the first covenant. You remember that? He took away the first, that he must establish the second. How could people jump around and say, "Well, boy, I'm going to keep the Sabbath," and when Jesus took it away? You see the blessing we got? He took away the first covenant, that he might establish the second. "I came to do thy will, O God. Offerings and sacrifice I didn't appreciate. But prepare me a body." Jesus went to the cross with that body. But I got some good news for you before we give the invitation. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians 2. Back up to verse number 6. Colossians 2:6. And we're going to read a few verses there. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus," that's us, "the Lord, so walk in him." You see, if you step out of Christ, the devil is ready to gobble you up. So walk in him means to live in him. Live in him. Let's read on further. "Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in the faith," or in your faith, "just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Verse number 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy." There's philosophy out there, but don't let that capture you. "Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." But look at verse number 9. "For in him," in Christ, "all the fullness of deity," or the Godhead, "dwells in a bodily form." Jesus is in heaven in a bodily form. Jesus is God, but he is man. Oh, Lord have mercy. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus is God, but he is man, because God changeth not. When the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus, he said about him that he was to be and is God with man. Remember that? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. He is God with man. And what the scripture is telling us all over, that's not the only one, that Jesus is man, but he is God. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of man. The writer of the book of Hebrews said he took not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. You see, the seed of Abraham. And what Abraham's seed is blood, flesh and blood. So Jesus is in a bodily form in heaven right now as we speak. And deity is in him in a bodily form. So we hope one day, after this life is over, we're going to see that bodily form. I would want to see it, wouldn't you? Amen. Lord, this is where the nail went for us. I don't think they would be crying up there. That former thing would be gone. But then you would be happy to see the evidence. Isn't that right? The evidence of the one who was nailed to the cross, which was purposed by God before Adam and Eve, before the foundation of the world, and that old devil, that one who lies to you and me, didn't know that God had these before Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't understand God's eternal purpose. And God's eternal purpose was the church, yes. But God's eternal purpose was to remove the old law, because God knew that people was going to come and live under the law. And Jesus was going to come and remove it. He took away the first that he might establish the second. Amen. It's just like in Parliament. You have a law going, isn't that right? Anybody here, parliamentarian? Anyone here, a parliamentarian? You got to go and amend laws and do some things to get rid of the existing one. And how God did it? By the blood of Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad? By the blood of Christ. And so people coming into the world now, they don't have to worry about going offering a lamb anymore. You know, I don't know. I have to face blood, but I never like to deal with blood. And the smell of it, you know? No. But I thank God through Jesus Christ that we don't have to go and catch a lamb and smell. That was for the Jews, that blood. And so there's a difference between God and man, because God loved the scent of the meat that they used to roast. He went up as a sweet smelling savor. I don't love smelling roast meat. But God loved it at one time. But you know what he loved now? The saints, the present of saints. Amen. You and me and all the saints around the world. It is ascended up as a sweet smelling savor. God loved when we love one another with a pure heart, fervently. As Peter said, God loved when, as Jesus said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I love you. How? What is he saying? He laid down his life for you and me. And we are to love one another justly. We are to be patient, loving with one another. Not only at the church building, but love one another when we have some upsetting thing to deal with. Yes. Hold on a while. I'm sorry I behaved such and such before you. I was dealing with something. But don't take out your frustration on somebody else because you're frustrated. Don't take out your anger on someone else because someone just crossed your way. And if you did that, just run quickly and say, hey, I didn't operate properly. Forgive me, see? Yes. God is good. God is great, and he had done for us all the great things. And he wants us to make heaven our home. Never mind, there may be some things that you've been asking him for. Maybe it hasn't been done yet. But God is on time. His time is the right time. His repetition is on the line, and he would help. He will do what he said he would do. For you, for me, and for all of us. And his time is the right time. He is always on time. So as we close tonight, God wants us to be happy, even we're going through great tribulation sometimes. He wants us to be happy and rely on him. But the devil wants to stop that flow of connection between us and our God. So love Jesus now. Every day is not the same. You may wake up tomorrow and you feel happy. You can move the world. The next day, And it's dreary. I don't know. One day is one thing. But if you focus on Jesus, if you focus on Christ, on things above, these things would be no threat to you. Pray always and commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life to God over and over, because our minds are renewed day by day. Even though the body perish, even though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And there's only one person can do that, and that is an Almighty God. Amen. So we come by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. That's the number one step. Where people believe, well, you could do anything to... No, there's one way to be saved. I am the way. Not many ways to make heaven your home. I am the way, just one. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you come to Christ through faith in his word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, the words of God. Romans 10:17. So that's the first step. So when you make the first step, you say, brother, are there other steps to go? Yes, until you get in. So down here, you are outside. The first step is to believe. All right, am I in Christ yet? No. To repent. Turn away from your sin. To confess Christ as Lord. You're in the confessing state. And to be baptized. To be baptized for the remission of sins. And after you have been baptized, you enter into Christ, into his kingdom. Having been washed from your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think we emphasize that enough. Because most people don't know, even up till now. What are you saying? As if they are baffled. You mean I had to go to be baptized as a burial? Yes, that's what Jesus said. You know why most people don't know? It is because we stress more on Jesus as the Savior and not Jesus the Lord. He is Lord and Savior. And the Lord commands us to do his will. And so if you want him to be your Lord and Master, you have to do his will. Not only that he is a Savior and he went to the cross, but he commands us what to do to be saved. But most people don't know that. So we have to emphasize it time and time and time again, because sometimes we forget quickly. Who could remember all that was done this morning? You forget most of it already, you know that? Well, I forget most of it already. Well, we are humans. And these things happen. Even youngsters, much less to those of us who have been living here for some time, we forget too. Probably even more. And so we need to emphasize this. And then, having repented, you confess Christ as Lord, that you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you go to the water, as we had this morning. The precious soul, that sister, she's a sister in Christ now, who have been baptized into Christ for the remission. And everyone needs to encourage her. Because the devil would be at her case, just like he has been at our case all of our lives. So this church, you started it this morning. I love that, Brother Brown. This welcome like this morning, oh, I love. That was great. That was great. I don't think the young sister would forget that. Because she heard verbally what was said. And she believes sincerely that you love her. Amen. And that you welcome her into the family of God. That's wonderful. Glory be to God. And I know you will encourage her. But then we have some grown-ups need encouragement too. Sometimes they think the preacher don't need encouragement. He needs encouragement. Even though he preached the word, the devil wanted to get him first. And after getting him first, then he runs through the body like nothing. So we need to pray for the preacher. Ask God's help on him. Because he could be up there and the devil will say, all right, bam, down the road. So pray for one another. Pray for me. Amen. Thank you in advance for your prayer. Thank you for your welcoming here. You are welcoming. May God bless you for that. Don't forget me every time, always, because I'm going to do the same. We are going to do the same for you. Day and night, night and day. The invitation is yours. While together we stand and sing, won't you come?